yeas are 65, the nays 31. The motion to concur in the House Amendment to Senate Amendment to House Resolution 2965 is adopted.
Gay troops say they're a little bit optimistic now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. But what does it all mean? The big story from over the weekend, lame duckers passing the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Maybe you were scurrying around trying to get those last-minute shopping things done. Did you have a long, long list and you just went from place to place frustrated beyond all get out? Because if you're shopping now, you're probably finding, guys, that all the parking lots are full. And you know the worst place to drive? It's not the freeways in L.A. It's not the vicious circles and one-way streets in Washington, D.C. It's at those bloody shopping centers. Nobody knows how to park or pull out or drive. Either they're going 70 miles an hour down the aisles, or you are cautiously pulling out, backing up, and then somebody slams into you. I can't tell you how many accidents I have seen in shopping centers, whether it's just the regular market in a strip center or a gigantic mall. So do yourself a favor. If you were a last-minute person and in these 5 days left, you are scurrying around like a cockroach trying to run for cover for fear that someone's going to step on you, don't put yourself through that. Just do it one step at a time next year, and then it won't be so bad. You know who's on your list. It doesn't change. So just remember during the year to pick up a little of this and a little of that, and I'm going to get something here, and then I remember I need to get something here. And before you know it, it's piled up in your closet, and you're done. You're finished. You just have to pay someone to wrap it. Or, in the case of our Cracker Jack technical maestro, Matt Johnson, you're smart enough to go to the store where you spend enough money and they give you the free gift wrapping. But the key is to plan ahead, and then you don't have to deal with the insanity that is the last couple weeks before Christmas. All right, you just heard Senator Evan Bob there talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, actually the vote on that into the weekend. It happened over the weekend. And so there were a lot of people very, very excited about this, and a lot of people that are very, very upset, as you can imagine, like John McCain, the longtime senator from Arizona and prisoner of war back in Vietnam days. We all know John McCain's serving stories, how he served, of course, in the military, and he never was on board with repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and, in fact, is saying, okay, this is fine, but look, we're going to look to repeal this. I think that's why a lot of people who are gay in the military and who left the military are a little bit, they're optimistic, but they're concerned about false hope, about a little early Christmas present that might get snatched away. Here's what one guy said, Mike Almey, talking about the fact that now he's going to jump right back into the military. He's going to be able to reenlist. Here's what he said.
What a day. Long time in the making, a long, hard process. I look forward to wearing the uniform once again of an officer of the United States Air Force.
All right, so Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We're going to talk about that a little bit later this hour here on America Tonight. Also, the latest on Julian Assange. I feel like we're always on the JA watch here on America Tonight. I don't know why, because frankly, you know, I'm on the fence about him. When I say I'm on the fence, I hate wishy-washy, I do. But in the case of Assange, he has, if he is given the documents, and you know whether this was CBS or CNN or Fox or whoever, if they were given documents that were going to break news, they're going to break it. They're going to find out a way to put those documents out there. The New York Times, they salivate like a puppy who just doesn't have enough water if they could get the classified documents that Julian Assange had. The problem I have is the fact that I think there is a line, and I think that the line has been smashed in half. And ultimately, in saying, okay, the American public needs to know this, and we're going to release 250,000 documents from the State Department, private memos, and we're going to release stuff that they should have known about Afghanistan coming out of the Pentagon. Well, the idea is, what do you think, you're going to now suddenly open up this free-for-all that all the information is going to be unclassified and it's going to be out there for everybody to chew on and to look at and examine? No. This just will shut more doors. That's exactly what will happen. And that's why I'm on the fence. He has a right to do it if he's given the documents, but the line now is really erased. And you want to talk about secrets. Oh, there's going to be a lot of secrets. And you can go back to WikiLeaks, and that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. They're going to point back to what he did and say, well, this is the reason why only two people at the Pentagon are allowed to look at these documents and why you will never, ever see another leak like this one. We're not going to get snookered again. That's not going to happen. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Of course, NFL, we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. What a crazy weekend it turned out to be. A lot of edge-of-your-seat games that finished at the last couple of seconds, whether it was the Eagles and the Giants, whether it was the Cowboys and the Redskins, where the Cowboys had a big lead and then ended up giving it back. And, of course, our game of the week was the Sunday night game, the Patriots and the Packers. What happened in that game? Let's just say Tom Brady didn't have such an easy time. Remember the last couple of Patriot games that were billed as the big ones were massive, massive disappointments, whether it was the Bears, whether it was the Jets. This time around, it was a little bit different with the Green Bay Packers. So did anybody nail the score? What happened to that game? Absolutely, we're going to talk about it. We're also going to talk about what I heard over the weekend from a pretty good source. There's a big chance that the bomb is about to be dropped on Lance Armstrong. And for years now, we know this. With Lance Armstrong, there have been various people that have come out and said that, you know, besides the French who were trying to nail any American, that Lance Armstrong, in fact, was absolutely doping, and here's proof. So Lance Armstrong's, one of his biggest accusers lately has been Floyd Landis, who actually wore a wire for some information, and the information spilled out, let's say, and it doesn't look good for Lance Armstrong. If Lance Armstrong were to get into a situation, do you think, where his back was completely against the wall, and it's not about conversation anymore, it's about testimony, what do you think he would say? I'm going to say plead the fifth. Probably plead the fifth. Everybody saw what happened with Roger Clemens, although I don't see with the cyclists, I don't see this being probed by Congress. And especially, it's not going to happen anytime soon because we got the lame duck guys, then we're switching out to our next Congress, which would happen in January. And what a colossal waste of time that would be. We've already been through this a couple of times, right, in baseball. But will the hero go down to the hands of doping? We'll examine that too. Hang with us. We're talking about marriage and the holidays next here on America Tonight.
Nine years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Making the right decision decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon.
So welcome back to this edition of America Tonight. If you're listening to us in California, boy, I hope you have your galoshes on. Terrible storms, lots of flooding. I've got a pal in L.A., and pretty much she said she had to do the James Bond thing where your car has to float. So there were a lot of floating cars, let's say, in California. We'll talk about the weather. It's always part of the topic here on America Tonight. But I said we were going to dive into the whole marriage thing. You know, holidays in the marriage can be pretty tough. And Alicia Bowman has written a book called Project Happily Ever After. Alicia, thanks for hanging late with us on ATM. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
All right, let's talk about, first of all, so if somebody just saw the title of this book, Happily Ever After. So I'm assuming we're going to go down a road where we're not talking about divorce. We're talking about somehow sticking it out, right?
Yes, yes. I use that phrase because, you know, when we read fairy tales, it always ends with the couple who just met going happily ever after off into the distance. And we tend to use that as we have this fairy tale version of marriage, and we kind of assume that, you know, the biggest struggle is getting the wedding done, and then after that, it's all like honky-dory and no problems. But we know from statistics that that's really not true, and any of us who have struggled in our marriage know that it's not true. And so the book is about my personal journey, falling in love, falling very much out of love, and then doing the hard work to get back to an in-love place.
How did you know when you, I mean, that was it, you just fell out of love and you're like, ugh. How did you know you were stuck?
Oh, how did I know? Well, I can give you a lot of the symptoms. I think we had pretty much all of them, but sexually, I couldn't remember the last time we'd done it, and I truly didn't care. Huge problem.
Right.
Conversations. We'd go out to eat, and I'd stare at my husband, and I'd think, I can't think of a single thing to say to him. Huge problem. Romance. Not only did I not feel adored by him, I really didn't know how to tell him what I wanted him to do. I had no idea what I wanted. Intimacy. We really didn't even make eye contact. We had just, most of the times when we communicated, it was either fighting or silence, and there wasn't much in between. So, you know, I didn't feel connected. I didn't feel close. I didn't feel supported. That's a very bad place to be in for a marriage.
Boy, no kidding. Did you tell your friends about it?
For the longest time, I stayed silent. I had this myth in my mind. I mean, I didn't know it was a myth at the time, but I thought I was the only person in my life who was in an unhappy marriage, and I thought I was just this lone failure. I had accidentally married the wrong person, and here all of my friends had all married great, and I thought they were all happy. So for a very long time, I was silent. And when I did talk about it, I talked about it sort of in an angry rant, but not so much in a asking for advice or support or, you know, are you guys going through this too kind of place. And it wasn't really until we had turned a corner and we had worked on our marriage and I really started opening up. I started blogging about it and writing about it and really talking with just about anybody who would sit and listen to me that I realized how common it was. And maybe people weren't struggling with it at that actual moment, but they had been there earlier in their marriage. So the vast majority of people I talked to completely understood the struggle.
Yeah, and what I love is, well, now you can laugh about it, but you talk about fantasizing about your husband Mark's death and who you would
yes.
date after he was dead. Oh, my. Did
yeah.
you share that with him?
Yeah, I mean, later on. And, you know, when right before we really started working on our marriage, I had what I called the intervention talk, but I really sat down with him and I said, look, these are the things I'm doing in my mind. I mean, this is not good. I'm envisioning you conveniently dropping dead in a million different ways. I've already planned your funeral on the off chance that it actually happens. And, yeah, you know, I'm worried I'm going to have an affair. I don't feel adored by you, and I'm worried that given a moment of opportunity, I'll seek it out from somebody else. And, you know, it was a hard conversation to have, but it was probably one of the best conversations we had because, you know, up until then we had just been fighting about really minutia, like how to do the laundry, what's allowed to go on the bathroom counter, you know, fights that are really about nothing except for anger and control. And here was the first time we'd had a real conversation about the state of our marriage, and that was a true turning point for us.
Okay, so Project Happily Ever After, to get to that point, and you share all this in your book, but when you know you're at that plateau where, oof, I'm either going to bail, because not a lot of people, you know this, will just bail. A lot of guys mm-hmm. will do that. They'll just bail. They'll just say, forget it. I'm sick of this. I'm not going to do this anymore. Or try to find someone else, like you said, have an affair, and then go in that direction. So when you get to that point, what are some of the steps that you found to making it work, to making it better, to opening up?
Sure. I mean, one is to commit to your marriage. You're right. The affair isn't a solution. It's sort of like putting a Band-Aid over it and going into denial. And the vast majority of people, their affairs are found out, and then the marriage is over. And I hear from a lot of people who regret their affairs and wish that they had never gone that route. And then, you know, with divorce, I'm not necessarily against divorce, but I am against misery. So, you know, the misery is caused by making no decision, you know, committing to nothing, just sitting and letting your life happen to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think the first step is really realizing that you have a choice. You're not stuck. You can choose to do something, you can choose to get out of it, or you can choose to do nothing. So make the choice to do something. And then the second would be to realize that you're a part of the problem. And this was really hard for me because I thought my bad marriage was all my husband's fault. And I could have convinced anybody. I could have been on the radio with you a few years ago, and I'm sure I would have convinced you that it was all his fault. I was very good at convincing myself of this, everybody in my life of this. But you know what? It wasn't. And it took me a long time to admit that I was part of the problem. One of the main problems in our marriage was that I didn't voice my concerns. I didn't tell him how I felt. I didn't ask him to do the things I wanted him to do. I wanted him to read my mind, and lo and behold, he really does not have ESP. So once I learned how to be assertive, I mean, it's amazing how fast things changed once I learned how to be assertive.
Wow. And that's what people say. People will say that, with besides the mind reading thing, that men don't understand women don't understand men. Do you think that's true? There's been a lot of books written about that.
Yeah, it might be male-female, but it also just might be that, you are two people with two separate brains. And we tend to think that we share the same brain, and we tend to think that we completely know our spouse because we've lived in the same house for so many years. But you really don't. And even now, I'm so close to my husband, but I'm always aware of the fact that he doesn't know what I'm thinking, and I don't know what he's thinking. And we are very stereotypical in some ways. He's a very male-male, and I'm a very female-female. But I've seen other relationships where, you know, the stereotypes really don't hold true, but they're still two different people, and you just can't assume that your spouse knows what you're thinking, and you can't assume that you know what your spouse is thinking.
Yeah. One of the things you say in your book, and you talked about this, that there was no sex, no romance going on. You got to have that to make it work, right?
Oh, you do, and it can be created. One of the myths about romance and attraction and sex is that it's all about chemistry. And, you know, we're fed this basically because of TV and movies and fairy tales, and because you have that mystical chemistry when you first meet. But, you know, you can create it, and it's about finding ways to adore each other. It's about finding ways to turn each other on in the bedroom. A lot of it is about trial and error and problem solving and creativity. For instance, with romance, I had to redefine my definition of romance, because when I first met my husband, it was very stereotypical. I thought, oh, romance is flowers, it's gifts, it's dinners out, it's going to the movies and things like that. Well, you know, after you become a parent, those things don't matter so much to you anymore. And it got to the point where I was like, you know, romance is when he wakes up and goes to work before I do, and on his way to his car, he notices that my windows are all frozen over, and he scrapes them off for me. A romance, you know what I mean? It's stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's how your spouse makes you feel loved and important. So that's different for every couple, and you really need to talk about, okay, how are some ways you can show me and make me feel important in your life?
Yeah, what a great way to end this interview. ProjectHappilyEverAfter.com, that's the blog. You can pick up the book. It's available at Amazon.com and any of the bookstores that we all frequent. Alicia, thanks so much for sharing your story with us, and good luck with this current book.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And listen, this lady's not a stranger to writing books. She co-authored 7 New York Times bestsellers. And she really does say pretty much, hey, this is the deal. He's a guy's guy. I'm a woman's woman. And here's what happened in our marriage. And I guarantee there's some guys hanging around listening to this and say, oh, that sounds familiar. The cold shoulder. Better to not be stuck, though. I think I agree with her completely on that. All right, we're not stuck. Coming up on the flip side, we've got odds and ends. Hang through.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. You've heard me talk about the delicious, easy-to-fix, and very storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. I've told you for years that eFoodsDirect has the best storable food on the planet. Now it's that time of year again, and their holiday special is here. They have 2 holiday price packs for you to put into your reserves for a secure future or to share with others. The first is a 6-month bulk supply in 10 cans. And the second is a 5-week supply of quick and easy to fix meals, including delicious bakery items shipped in heavy tote bags. Now, for a limited time, when you order two or more of these special holiday packs, you'll get free shipping on your entire order. Call now, 800-409-5633, or visit them at efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633, or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come in, just down. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. Pedal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come to mama.
All right, topping odds and ends. I mentioned this. Brutal weather in Cali. If you pick this time of year and you're from California and you're going home, bring your galoshes because they've got all kinds of storms, brutal storms, that have led to flooding. I mean, honestly, if you live in California long enough, you experience everything, including snow at some point, depending on where you live, right? Because the earthquake, there's always the possibility of the big one, but probably at some point there's at least a small quake. And then you have the mudslides, and then you have the fires, and then you have the flooding. You know the old song from a zillion years ago, it never rains in Southern California? That's just not true. Eventually it does. And when it does, it's like buckets of rain. So they've had a series of winter storms that slammed down on them in Cali, in Los Angeles, especially Southern California, on Saturday. So you got flooding and the mud flow warnings are out there. Then you had wildfires that were right in front of the weekend rains. So that creates the other situations, the mudslide situations. And, you know, the National Weather Service, I saw a quote from one of the weather guys, and they said, this is one big mother, and it's going to have a lot of waves in it. When they say that, you want to kind of go inland, I think, when you're like in Malibu or one of those areas where you're right off the Pacific coast. And they say the storm's the largest that they've seen in the last decade. In the last decade. Ooh, nasty. And when you get 2 to 4 inches, like I said, it's a triple threat sometimes in the mountains. And then, of course, with the traffic, when you're talking about Interstate 5. Ever been down Interstate 5? Raise your hand. Oh, many, many times. Interstate 5 is just a nightmare. It's avoidable. You have to avoid it. In other words, whether it's avoidable or not, you have to find a way to avoid it. And they're talking about the fact that over the weekend they had so many traffic accidents that already in comparison they've had a fivefold increase. Now, I'm talking L.A. already. Fivefold increase. That means 264 accidents. You know how many they had this time last year? 48. 48. So now the whole wet, soggy Southern California experience is supposed to last until Thursday. Whew. Just in time for Santa, who doesn't have to hydroplane into Los Angeles. So Friday, Saturday, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas is supposed to dry up. And that, I guess, is the good news for the people living in Southern California. Like I said, you live in California, you definitely experience a little bit of everything. All right, I started off the show by talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the fact that that was repealed over the weekend, which is huge. So think about it. The lame duck Congress, actually, two things happened. One, the bipartisan, so-called bipartisan tax agreement to keep the tax Bush cuts and to extend unemployment for, what is it, 13 months. And now Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I really was a little surprised by this because I thought it would get clogged up in the system longer than it did. Now, it's going to be up for grabs because there's always the chance of repealing it once you go back in January. And John McCain, well, as I already mentioned him, he was just furious over the passing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So what does this mean? It's very strange because now you have people who served who were running back to re-enlist. The Pentagon is saying lifting the ban is going to take time. So Defense Secretary Robert Gates is reminding everybody who's serving that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to stay a military policy for a little bit longer, despite that historic Senate vote over the weekend on Saturday to overturn it. Because under the bill that was approved by the Senate, you heard the total, 65-31, the Prez and the Pentagon, hand in hand, have to certify that lifting the ban won't hurt troops' ability to fight. So it's all about what's happening on the front lines, not people behind the scenes or in other forts or bases or whatever before they go over, or perhaps they have jobs in D.C. or other places, not in Afghanistan or Iraq, for example. But after that, the military, after that's certified, the military has to undergo a 60-day wait period before any changes are made. So do the math, you know, beginning of the year. You're probably talking, if it really went in quickly, January, February, probably March, actually. And that would be fast if that happened. In fact, the defense secretary said he's going to start the process right now, but that the certification won't come until there's a careful consultation with the military service dudes, the chiefs, and all the combat commanders. So everybody has to be involved in this. So just because it gets green-lighted over the weekend doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, even though there are a lot of people that are going to assume, okay, I'm back in. I'm in the game. In the game, but in reserve status for now. I mean, when I say reserve status, waiting to make this happen, because it's just one of those things, as Gates said, their concern, because Gates was for this, he was for the repeal, but their concern is jamming this down the throats of everybody on the front lines, that it can't happen that soon. Nothing in the military, if any of you have ever been in the military, you know, nothing in the military happens that quickly. It takes a little bit longer to make what happens in Congress ultimately, or what happens on paper, becomes a bill, becomes law, a reality. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Sam, you're our leadoff guy. How are you doing?
What do I always say?
Simply fantastic.
You must be jumping for joy.
Because of the Eagles?
Of course.
Yeah. It was a good finish. It was a good finish that they, hey, they won the game, but it wasn't pretty.
But knowing you being a diehard Eagles fan, you'll take it any which way you can. You'll take it any which way you can, six ways from Sunday.
Oh, absolutely, because now we're down to the tail end of the season, and these games are big, and, you know, that was for the lead in the NFC East, so that was important because now you want to try to play for, if you think you're going to be in the playoffs anyway, which I think they certainly will be, you want to play for home field advantage. As much home field as you can get, you want.
You know, anyway, about this, don't ask, don't tell. My personal attitude, I don't care who you sleep with.
Right.
I mean, there was a girl where I worked told me she came out and said she was a lesbian. I just went, you know, I put my finger in my mouth and went, you know, like pop, like whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, who cares?
You know, like, where's the report I asked for? I mean, okay, fine. I mean, my attitude, I mean, you want to tell me you're gay? Hey, great. You don't want to tell me? That's also great. So this, that, don't ask, don't tell, or whether you know, that you appeal it. For me personally, what's the big deal? As long as you know how to shoot and you protect, you'll protect, and if we were in the military, you protect me in, you know, times of war. That's the way I look at it. What you do in your off time, if you're on leave, R&R, whatever you want to call it, I don't care what you do. So, you know, at least that's with me. And I don't know why McCain...
Well, see, here's what's interesting is because, remember, if we go back 17 years, it was a Democrat that put this into play. It was Bill Clinton.
Right.
And Colin Powell at the time was the one who also, supposedly, according to Clinton, who was president then, said that he was really talked into it by Powell, that this was the best way to go, that this is how you can let people serve and not have a big problem with this whole thing. And it's a mix. If we're being really honest, not from my point of view, because I agree with you, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Right. Who cares? We don't care. You know what? If I have the best sharpshooter, the best guy protecting me, the best guy in the squad with me crawling around in these horrible conditions where I could have my arm blown off, I want the best dude with me. I don't care. You're right. Unless it was some bizarre, overt thing where the person was hitting on everybody, then that's not acceptable, and that wouldn't work with a group of really He-Man guys who were manly men.
When
they wouldn't,
like, you know, Marines and all that.
Right. That wouldn't work.
Right.
Because that's certainly that, you know, they're not walking into a gay bar, so they don't want that atmosphere in where they serve, and whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq or some other place. But the point is, now they have this policy for 17 years, so they are right about that they have to implement it correctly, because you can't do that. The military doesn't do things that way.
It's just
like pulling out troops. People think, oh, boom, slap my, you know, just we have the orders, and then we can just take out all the equipment. It doesn't work that way. There's too much stuff to move. There's too much logistics to it. So they do have to have time for that.
Right. And now, why is McCain PO'd about this?
Because he doesn't think it's right during the time of war to change the policy. He says you're in the middle of this, situation, the lives invested, the money invested. He didn't even go the money route. To switch gears on people in the middle of this situation is not what you want to do. I don't think he was against it all the way across the board. I think it was more about, this isn't the right time to do this. Why are we doing this now?
Okay, you know, I'm thinking maybe because, you know, he's a little bit on the ultra-conservative side, I think, at least.
Sure. Constituency is probably playing to the politics of it, yeah.
Okay.
But also, too, remember, he's a lifelong military guy.
Right.
And you remember what he went through with the POW camp for 5 years, and then coming out of that, and he understands the military. There is a big difference. It's true. There is a big difference between you served and you didn't serve. You talk to people who serve, they tell you about what it's really like. I mean, that old expression about, I want him in the foxhole with me.
Right.
They understand that. They understand what the foxhole is and what it means. Hey, Sam, we're out of time. We're up against it. Thanks for the phone call. Coming up on the flip side, We Can Count. We'll be right back.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's LeCig.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeCig.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
Hello. At OffTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OffTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Of We Can Count here on America Tonight. By the way, if you have any suggestions for We Can Count, a clever little story in your neck of the woods, shoot it to me at americatonight.net. Here's one from Sacramento. The treasurer's office is used to writing a lot of checks, as they say, not really getting them. But they did get a big check. How about that? It was written out to the state of California. That's it. Just said state of California. $10,000. The guy who sent the check lives in South Carolina. He wasn't behind on taxes or in trouble with law or any of that kind of nonsense. He says he just wanted to send the state a check for a sort of a thank you that he received decades earlier. Apparently, 74-year-old Dennis Ferguson lived in Cali, like so many of us have at some point in our life. You have to go through California. You do. I think you have to at least pass through California. Anyway, he lived in California 46 years ago, and at the time he said he needed help. He collected unemployment for 5 months. He said it totaled out to about $1,100 in payments from the state. He used the money to pay for his temporary housing and learn computer programming. He was able to get back on his feet. He got off unemployment, yada, yada. So the story has a happy ending. And then he was able to make a bunch of money because he had this skill. So he decided he was going to write a check to the state for 10 grand. And that it wasn't specific as to what the state of California should use it for, but just he wanted the state of California to have it. How about that? I'm sure that is very rare. You think in any other state can boast getting a check from somebody who used to live there? Because, oh, gee, thanks for the unemployment. Thanks for the handouts, and here's some money back. Oh, well. Wonder what they're going to do with the check. I want to know if they're going to give it back or they're going to just, you know, take it like a donation. We're California. We're now accepting donations. Now let's stick with money. Bank of America says it's going to no longer process any of the transactions, not one, not two, not three, not four, for the website WikiLeaks. This is just what other financial people have done who have been connected to WikiLeaks. It's kind of like a little punishment for Julian Assange. So MasterCard pulled out, PayPal, they've stopped handling payments, and now Bank of America has decided to do the same thing. So WikiLeaks responded with a little Twitter message urging supporters to stop doing business with the Bank of America. How many people do you think are going to stop doing business with the Bank of America? The problem is there's this many banks, you know, that just tiny. Picture my hands where I have not even far apart enough for goalposts. That's how many banks are left in America. Now, there's some local banks, but then there's problems that can often be associated with banking locally. And when you hit the big banks, they seem to be, like I said, they seem to be shrinking. And, you know, you get a bank. This happened to me. The best bank I ever banked at, Commerce Bank. You know what was so cool about Commerce Bank? You know, when you bring in all your 10,000 jars of pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, well, you know, that adds up after a while. So when you went to Commerce Bank, you could just put the money in this change counter thing. Like they have this Coinstar that's now in grocery stores and whatnot in the United States. For people listening to us there, they probably have something similar in Europe and other places. But they take a percentage of it. And they didn't do that at Commerce Bank. I thought that was pretty good. And plus they just, boom, you just count it, you take it up there, and you get money for it. And they also gave you free checking and some other things. It seems like every time I turn around, because I am a Bank of America, or as I like to call it, Bank of Mexico bank, but that's my bank, I feel like every time I turn around, they're slapping me with some incredible fee, like some usage fee. We vacuumed your account, and it costs you $25. And then, oh, 2 months later, then it's $18. Then there's some other weird fee that just flies in from left field. And every time it seems as I go to the bank, I'm asked for 15 forms of identification. But I'll see, and this is no exaggeration, I'll see two and three people around me speaking, I don't know what language, not even Spanish. They'll dump bags of money, and they're not asking for any identification with these people. They're nothing. I don't say, oh, no ID, no worries. You're not an American? Cool. We'll take your money. That's fine. We'll open an account for you, but then they'll ask me for 20 forms of ID. I hate it. Maybe it's time to shop for another bank. Okay, so 9/11, backers of the 9/11 health bill are feeling a little bit more optimistic. I mean, we all know what happened on that horrible day, September 11th, the attacks and the dust at the World Trade Center. And then, oh, don't worry, you're breathing in the dust, it's perfectly fine. And then, oh, guess what, it's not perfectly fine. So how to pay for the first responders and the aid that they need? Democratic senators Kirsten Gillibrand and Chuck Schumer, who often I'm not on the same side as Chuck Schumer, but I will say I agree with this. They say that they're offering a less costly alternative to the original bill to help the responders and survivors. They think it'll gain that support from Republicans. So this is a good thing. It looks like they're trying to play together in the schoolyard called my money and your money. So I think that the first responders should be taken care of. So if there's a way to work this bill out and figure out how to pay for it, then do it. Don't sit around any longer on this. So Republicans were concerned about that. They were concerned about the costs of the bill and how we're going to pay for it. But it looks like there may be an alternative to it. So they're optimistic that the Senate might approve the measure before the lame duck session ends. Boy, that's incredible. The do-nothingness of lame duck and what that word entails, throw it out the window with these guys. If that happens, you're talking about one, two, three, it looks like maybe even four things have happened in this short window of time, and a lot of it with cooperation. Could there be a breakthrough in Washington? And then when you re-rack and come back in January and you're looking at a whole set of new faces, I'll be curious as to how that goes. And will there still be that spirit of cooperation? If you go back in history, a lot of times when the president, that's the interesting thing, when the president does not have Congress in his pocket, so to speak, with the party lines, more is done. I mean, comb through, if you actually comb through and look at some of the laws and some of the bigger things that were accomplished in our entire history, you could point to some key things that happened when that was the scenario we're talking about. It's like Bill Clinton, and how much did he get done? He got more done when he had to deal with the Republicans. So who knows? I mean, maybe it is a brand new day. I'm saying optimistically. Hey, coming up later this week on America Tonight, a couple of things I want to remind everybody. We will have another version of Nail the Score, because, yes, we were here all the way through Friday morning, Thursday night / Friday morning, depending on where you live. And also, we're going to take a look back at some of the big stories that broke in 2010. A cool thing to do at the end of the year is to look back at the year and then to look forward as to what do you think some of the things are that could happen heading into 2011, whether it's sports or business or politics or something else. Let's hope we don't have more reality shows, although it'd be a safe thing to predict that you can count on maybe, I don't know, a dozen more reality shows. If anything, the last decade has been about that. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and looking back at 2010, what was the biggest reality show? Crazy enough, the uneducated goons on Jersey Shore captivated America. 6 million viewers. Just crazy. Of course, American Idol would still be considered, I guess, a reality show, and that would, even though they lost some viewers, that would be considered a top draw, as would Dancing with the Stars. But the second tier of reality shows, these unknown group of Jersey Shore kids, man, I still cannot figure that one out. Can you?
What, are you kidding me?
Idiot! It's simple!
I appreciate your understanding.
Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.